We've been in a series called Flickering Lamps. We have looked at the purpose of Christ for His church. Remember that? We're going back a few weeks now. I think this will be the last one in this series. We want to get into some holiday stuff. The purpose of His church. Remember, the purpose of His church was threefold. To glorify God, or to make Him famous. To make disciples. And to bless and preserve the community. We are attempting to accomplish that at Pine Drop. We're doing those three things. We talked about Christ's plan for His church. We talked about how the great almighty God of the universe would not say, I have a purpose for you, but you have to figure it out. No, He has a plan. It is incumbent upon us to find out where He is working and then to come alongside Him. And that's a different way of thinking. And then we talked about, we have purpose, we have plan, then we talked about His presence. How He is present with us. He is present among us. How, remember the story we told about how would a business meeting change, and how would we handle our business if the Jesus from Revelation chapter 1, with eyes like fire and hair white as snow and a voice like many waters, if He came and sat in the front row, how would our business meeting change? And He actually is here among us, right? Now, the thing about those three doctrines, again, I say the word doctrine, that's another church word, in case you're wondering. I've heard people, 20 years of ministry now, and I've heard people say, I don't like that church over there, they teach too much doctrine. The word doctrine just means teaching. So, no matter what they're doing, they're teaching doctrine. So, people have kind of co-opted that word. These three teachings, these three doctrines, what can happen sometimes with a really good doctrine, like, hey, Christ has a purpose for you. That's a good doctrine, right? That makes you feel good. He has a plan for you. He is present with you. Sometimes we can take doctrines and they can become a nice, warm doctrinal blanket. They keep you safe. They keep you warm. You're wrapped up in them. You're all snuggly and you feel good about yourself. That's as far as it gets, but you're safe and you're warm. The thing is, these doctrines were not given to us just to make us feel good. They were given to us to motivate us to live lives that express and experience, here's our last P, the power of God. Jeffrey's going to make fun of me now. These doctrines were given to us so that we might live lives that express and experience the power of God. I'm glad we have these new speakers. This is my first time preaching with them. It's going to be fun to say power, because you got to say it with some power. You can't do that, right? Like, reminds me of a old song leader I used to have at a church I went to. They sang Standing on the Promises. He'd always say, you can't sing Standing on the Promises, Sitting on the Premises. So he'd make you stand up every time. You can't say power without some power. We're going to talk today about the power of God. How's it going, Bob? You good? You need anything? Okay. That's the kind of day we're having. I ain't worried about it. So, okay. When we talk about the power of God, it is possible to know that God gave you a purpose. It is possible to know that He has a plan for you. It is possible for you to be aware of His presence, but to not really live a life that is showing and expressing and experiencing the power of God. The first three will make you a good church member. But living in the power of God will make you a disciple of Christ. It will explode in the world. The thing is, we are supposed to be representing God and His Son Christ to the world, right? 2 Corinthians. You can flip there if you want. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, since we don't have the screen. Many of you probably have this verse memorized. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, verse 20, therefore, we, he's talking to believers, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making His appeal through us. Through us. We're ambassadors for Christ. It is our job to represent Christ, who is not here physically on earth. It is our job to represent Him. We are the hands and the feet. We are the body. He is the head. You know, this symbolism is all throughout the New Testament. Now, I was going to, you know, use Jeffrey as an example, you know. So we're going to pretend he's sitting right here. Yeah, he's probably listening. I don't know. Hey, Jeff. So, you know, he teaches, you know, done a lot of teaching in martial arts. You can have two students, both who say, I believe in what you're teaching. Oh, we got Miss Carson. We believe in what you're teaching, right? I believe in it, coach or sensei or, I don't know, master, I don't know what you call it. I believe in it. But then you have both of those students come to class, and one of them, Jeffrey's like, okay, throw some punches. You know. He's not really in it. He's not really committed. The other one comes in, boy, he is getting it, right? We know which one of those two students really has a belief that is connecting to his hands and feet. We are those hands and feet. We represent Christ to the world. Now, I know that that's a really cliche, elementary thing to say. Let's make sure that the devil has not won that battle. Let's keep that from being cliche and elementary. We represent the Almighty God of the universe in the world. It's been a very educational month. The last few weeks here in Dickinson. Takes a while to get to know a town. And I'm really glad God brought us here. I am. I was confused at first because I don't know how I would pastor in some upper crust Houston suburb. Because I'm from like the country ghetto, right? I mean, I'm like, you know, mobile homes and you know, I know where I'm from. I know where I fit. I'm not complaining. I've learned that Dickinson has a side that I'm a little more comfortable with. I don't know how to say that. It might be offending half of y'all. I don't know. It's got a nice candy shell. But on the inside, here's what I've learned. And I'm just going to talk straight with you guys. Within a mile of this church, you know, this is true if you go out to 5 miles, but within a mile of this church, and this is stuff that I know to be true, that I have learned in the last month. Within a mile of this church, people are worshiping idols. They're actually bowing down to figurines and praying that it will help them in some way. Within a mile of this church, people are steeped in the occult. Not a cult, the occult. I have been asked more about the occult in my 6 months in Dickinson than in my previous 20 years of ministry. And I don't know, y'all are from here, so maybe you don't see it, right? You know, you don't notice the dirt along the edges of the baseboards, right? And I'm new here, so it's fresh to me. I have been asked more about the occult and experienced more demonic and occult activity in the 6 months I've been here than my previous 20 years of ministry, within a mile of this church. Now, we don't see that when we go home and close the door, but it's here. Some of y'all know. Some of y'all have been in the middle of it. Within a mile of this church, there is active prostitution going on. And some of y'all are like, yeah, I know. Some of y'all are like, what? Like, really? Because we don't know, right? Within a mile of this church, again, you could just take a stroll. There are drug manufacturers, drug sellers, and drug users, and drug addicts. And again, some of y'all know, some of y'all are nodding your heads. Within, and I'm not talking like, you know, hiding over in Bay Cliff, right? You know, I'm talking like here, within a mile of this church. Within a mile of this church, there are people sleeping in piles of trash to stay warm at night. Not downtown, but within a mile of this church. These are all things I've experienced in the last month of finally getting behind the curtain of Dickinson. I could keep going. There is addiction. There are broken homes. There are people struggling with health issues. There are people struggling with health issues in families. There's sin within a mile of this church. And we nice church folks, if we don't start living lives that are expressing the power of God, they're not going to know where to go for help. Because they're not looking for a class. They're not looking for a Bible lesson. Now, I know that that will help them, but that's not what they're looking for. They're looking in their situation saying, hey, my wife has been cheating on me. I am addicted to meth. My kids won't talk to me. I'm about to be left on the street. We're about to lose our house. I don't care about some lesson. I need some power, right? Within a mile of this church. And if all the world ever sees are, I feel like I'm in a Western, just the way it comes out of my head. If all the world sees are lily-livered, yellow-bellied, milk-toast Christians, they're going to believe that God is a lily-livered, yellow-bellied, milk-toast God. We are an important part of God's equation. He could show His power any way He wants to, but His Word has prescribed that it be through us. We're important. You're important. We have got to be expressing and experiencing the power of God, because there are people that is the only thing that will save them from the situation they're in. More than just their soul, but their whole life. And they look at a Christian and say, well, you guys sing some songs. Big whoop, right? We serve a God of power. We serve a God that has oomph, right? And I was talking, I forget who I was talking to the other day. Maybe it was Ellen in the office. In my life, I experience God so often that I don't even notice it anymore. And that's a huge blessing. It really is. Because I know periods of my life when that was the exact opposite. And I know people that live exactly the opposite. But it's just normal now. You know what I mean? It's just normal to have a good marriage. It's just normal to have nice kids. It's just normal to not be, come home and find the electricity turned off, right? It's just normal. God works in all these things. It's just normal for God to show up. Because He's shown up so much. But are we living lives that are expressing that to the world? Are we living lives that are oh, there it is. Hey there. So I got the clicker now. All right, let's click. That's that warm blanket. Look at that. You already saw that. You should be calling us to express the power of God. We represent Christ. There's that verse if you want it. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Yes. The lost world does base their view of God on how they view us. If you don't like that, take it up with God, because that's the system that He created, how they view us. So, a couple of things to consider. I don't know if this may not go that. We may get out early today. We'll beat the Lutherans next door to the lunch. So, hey, we want to just pray. I talked to a member of theirs last week. What a blessing that they've been able to rebuild and that things are going well next door. They've been through some hardship. How does God show His power? Well, since we're talking about the Lutheran church next door, one way, I'm just going to jump off the notes for a minute. We were talking about the fire. Now, you may not know that the building next door was burned down. For those of you that don't know the whole story, an arsonist came over here and said, I want to burn that Baptist church down. Nobody really knows why. In fact, now that I've been asked, I'd like to go meet the guy and figure out why. Now, the story that we tell is that he heard the cameras say, you are now being recorded. And it scared him off and he went next door. The story we should tell is that God protected us from an arson, right? God shows His power. Now, I feel bad for the Lutherans next door, but he showed His power, right? How does He show His power? He shows His power. We could make a list a mile long. I'm just going to pick a couple for today. Because He shows His power in so many ways. He shows His power when you look up at the sky, at the universe and all of creation. He shows His power in how He has created children through us. He's shown His power in so many things. We're going to look at just a couple of things today. He shows His power through the ministries of His church. Each local church is called to be the body of Christ. We are to represent Christ in Dickinson and beyond. I like that in our slogan. Dickinson and beyond. Sound like, what's the space guy? Buzz Lightyear, yeah. Y'all know what I'm thinking. You're picking it up. We are to represent Christ. Our ministries are to express faith in the power of God. So when an unbeliever, when they look at what a church is doing from the outside, they see the church doing things that only God could do. They see a church doing things that really don't make sense. That little Pine Drive, they're a little bitty church. How are they doing that? It's okay to say we're small, we are. How are they doing that? I know of little tiny churches that I've had the opportunity to kind of be aware of and interact with who are doing some of the greatest mission work around the world. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, people should be looking at Pine Drive saying, man, that doesn't make any sense. Our ministries are to express faith. They're supposed to show the power of God. Now, like I said, this isn't an accusation. This is just true of your typical, you know, typical small town church, typical Baptist church, also other flavors of church. It's really easy to work faith out of the equation. We build things in such a way because it's a wise business move. We build things in such a way that there's less risk. We're about to start working. We're working now on our proposed budget for next year. Hey, God's been blessing this church financially in some really cool ways. we're about to start working on our proposed budget. Now, a proposed budget says we think we're going to bring in this much, so we're going to plan to spend this much. And we're going to designate money into places to show where we think God wants us to work. Now, what happens sometimes is that when God shows up and has a different plan, we say, but that doesn't fit our budget, God. You know what I mean? We take the faith out of the equation. Just because we're doing a budget for January does not mean we get to tell God what He's allowed to do in August, right? We've always got to be willing to change and move. Our ministries are supposed to be bigger than us. I love that in a week's time, you guys banded together and really with just a week's notice threw together and were able to give away 160 plates of food a couple of weeks back. I love that. That was a lot for a short amount of time. Especially since we're all kind of new to working with each other. That was the way you threw that together. I love that with just a couple of weeks notice, you guys were able to put together 25 whole Thanksgiving meals. Those weren't small. I mean, when we say a Thanksgiving basket, it sounds really small, doesn't it? That was quite a grocery list. 25 families are going to have a nice meal on Thanksgiving. And you did that really quickly. You know, are we allowing God to push us right to the edge? Now, I got to be careful because, I mean, you got the hiccups, man? I got to be careful because I'm not a Pentecostal, right? We Baptists, we're so afraid of being charismatic that we pull back too far. Because this isn't some name it and claim it nonsense. If you ever hear that, that's nonsense. You don't get to tell God what He's about to do. That's not doctrinally sound. You don't get to tell God, I have named this and I have claimed this, so you have to do it. You know, I'm not the guy downtown. I'm not telling you there's a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage. But our ministries are supposed to be just beyond what we think we can really accomplish on our own. We're supposed to need God. And it's not normal to sit in a planning meeting with grown-ups and say, you know, let's put together a plan that almost makes sense. You know what I mean? That doesn't make any sense. That's a weird way to run a business. Well, the church is not a business. We're not a business. We need God to show up. We need to be willing. We need to be willing to try some things that are different. We need to be willing to hope for things that are beyond. I want to say out loud. Now, again, I'm not naming it and claiming it. It's up to God. But I want to say out loud that next summer, I'd love to see 150 kids at our VBS. I think we have the space. And we're already working on a plan. I've got somebody working on a plan for that. You'll start hearing about that in the next few months. Could we do that? Well, so we don't have any kids. Our school closed down. Our gym is, yeah. What? No. That's what I hope to see. Let's start throwing some hopes out there. Again, not in some silly, like, we're gonna test God. Although, you know, really when you look at Gideon and the fleece, Gideon never got in trouble for that. We present that like a bad story, but God never reprimanded him for testing him. You know, what I want to see, you know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see us fill this place up and be having like two services of like 200 people. Now, again, is that pie in the sky? Well, no, we got, what 300,000 people within, you know, in this area, you know, south of, from the Beltway to the beach, we've got hundreds of thousands of people that need to be reached for Christ. I want to see this church grow because of Christ, not just because I like to see people. I want to see that church grow. We got another guy named Cade Pierce, who just started having services down here on Hughes Road. Another guy in our work. I want to see him be successful. You know, we want to see God work in mighty ways. I want to see our church have a missions program that is beyond what we can explain. Now, right now we don't. We're talking 5-year plans here. But I want to see God do that through us. I want some of you guys to come to me and say, I have a weird idea. Now, you'll notice, some of you guys have noticed, some of y'all have hadn't tested it yet, but I don't say no right off the bat. Now, I will, you know, if we work through it and we pray about it, there comes a time when I have told some people that's probably not best right now. We'll work through it, but we never start with no, because we have to allow the Lord to lead us, because He needs to express His power through us. But that's a different way of looking at things, isn't it? Not what can I feasibly accomplish, but what does God want to do through us? What does God want to do through us? I'm ready for the day that all of our ministries, any ministry in this church, is beyond us. And that the only one who could get credit is God. We'll get there. How else does God show His power? God shows His power through transformed lives. Here's the thing. The gospel is holistic. Now, what in the world does that mean, Linda? That's kind of a weird way to say that. That means that the gospel saves your soul, but it also saves the rest of you. All of you. The gospel, it will lead you to Christ. You will be a new creation, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5 again. Therefore, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. The gospel's holistic. The gospel, when I say the gospel, I mean the truth of God that comes when you have accepted Christ as your Savior. That gospel changes your family. Or it should. It could. It doesn't always. The gospel is the foundation for a good marriage. The gospel is a foundation for good parenting. The gospel is a foundation for knowing how empty nesters are supposed to deal with adult children. There's a little stress sometimes, right? The gospel is the foundation for knowing how to be a godly grandparent. The gospel. There is stuff in this book that will give you guidelines on how to deal with family members. And the very first thing is to get those family members to Jesus. We have so many people among us today that are the only redeemed branch of their family tree. That breaks my heart. I've spent time, and I'd love to invite you guys to that time sometimes where I just pray for family trees. You know, God can redeem a whole family tree. It's great to say, look at where I came from and look at who I am now. It's even greater to say, look at this dead tree that is now blooming. Children, spouses, grandchildren, we are all believers. Our entire house, we have changed generations through the gospel. That's transformed lives. But so many Christians have compartmentalized the gospel and kept it in their soul. It's hard to express the power of God outside these walls to unbelievers when you say you are a believer in Christ, and you are, and you and your spouse treat each other like dirt. That happens. You know, they need to see a marriage that's different. And again, I ain't trying to toot our horn. I just know that God has worked in us. But one of the things that happened with us in Austin, we were hanging out with lost people, with well-to-do, educated families, but their kids were horrible and their spouses were mean, and they would come to Jessica and they'd say, why are y'all so nice to each other? You know what I mean? And that's not us. That's the power of the gospel working through us. That's what's supposed to happen. Hey, why are your kids not horrible little tyrants? Well, because the Bible told me how to raise them. And I want to tell you how you can do the same, right? The gospel is holistic. It's holistic. The gospel and the word of God affect your finances. I'm going to step back. I'm about to meddle a little bit. The gospel affects your finances. It does. Now, again, chicken in every pot, car in every garage, that's not what I'm saying. But there are principles in God's word that no matter how much you make, you can have peace. Now, there's a difference in poor and poverty. Poor is I don't make a lot of money. Poverty is a mindset. And the gospel wants you to move beyond that, right? God works through money. One of the things that Jessica and I are really passionate about, I had a really, really good deacon early on in ministry who grabbed me by the collar and said, I'm going to introduce you to a guy named Dave Ramsey. We were early on in our marriage, and we didn't make much. We didn't even make enough to say we didn't make much. I was proud of that money that I realize now was really horrible. We didn't make much. But if you instill the principles that God says in His Word, you can have peace. If you make a little or you make a lot, it's about how you handle it. And God can deal with that. There are things that we won't go too far into the weeds, but we love to counsel people. We've taught Financial Peace University. That's a thing that teaches you biblical principles for your money. We'll be offering that sometime in the next year. But if you need help with that privately, that's something that we've done. We love to help with that because we've seen victory in it. God says things like He hates debt. We don't want to talk about that in America. We'll move on. God says things like you should save a little bit. We don't want to talk about that in America, so I'll move on. You know, it'll affect your finances. Now, on both ends of the spectrum, it's hard to get the world to see the power of God when if you're on the bottom end of the spectrum, when you're not experiencing peace because you're not living in those principles. On the top end of the spectrum, it's hard to show the power of God when you throw a little bit at the church, but you're piling up retirement so high that you'll never see over the top of it when God wants you to do something amazing for His kingdom. I'm going to step back on that one, Miss Carolyn. We're going to get in trouble today. It affects your finances. The Bible's holistic. The gospel is holistic. It affects your relationships. It affects your work life. It affects how you go to work. I don't go to work to get paid. I go to work to serve my Lord and Savior and to make disciples, and I happen to get paid. Well, that changes the perspective on some of those complaining. There was a time when I had my alarm that was my daily alarm, and it used to say, and this is going to be a little crass, I'm sorry, I'm just going to tell you what it really said, freaking work day. I just was not excited about life. Had a poor attitude. Now, my alarm, and this is because the Lord knocked me in the mouth. Now my daily alarm says another day in paradise. That's a mindset. That's a gospel mindset. It's supposed to affect how we go to work. We don't say, God, get me out of this horrible job. We say, God, if it's your will, take me out of this job. But if not, show me a door. Show me where you're working so I can come alongside you and show these people your power, right? He shows his power in transformed lives. He shows his power by overcoming generational curses and addiction. He shows his power when lives are transformed holistically. But we've got to let the Bible meddle with us to do that. It's got to get all up in your business. And it'll change you. It'll change you all the way through. So many believers have been saved. Their souls are saved. But their bodies are victims of sin. Here's what it says in the book of Romans. He says, at the end of chapter 7, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. But chapter 8, but there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When people look at you, do they see someone who is living in condemnation or someone who's living in freedom? Transformed lives. Now, how exactly, what are we supposed to do about this? Again, you could talk about the how God expresses his power for days. What's the prescription? How exactly do we tap into this? How do we experience this? Well, as I dug through scripture, this one thing kept coming up, and it's going to seem really cliche. Prayer. Matthew chapter 9. Jesus was looking at the multitudes. And he saw the multitudes that were like sheep without a shepherd. The end of chapter 9, verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Y'all heard this, right? The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. So, come up with a good plan, dig down deep, grab yourself by the bootstraps, and get her done, Big Daddy. That's not what he said. He said, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. He said, there is this huge need. How are you supposed to tap into the power of God? He says, you pray to the Lord of the harvest and he'll handle it. When you get real serious, when you take the D out of that word, handle it. He'll handle it, right? He will handle it. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. You say, God, I am powerless. Do something. Famous verses that come to mind. 2 Chronicles. You guys probably have this memorized, and I would if I wasn't up here talking so much. At the consecration of the temple, when God answered Solomon's prayer, God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then what? Then I, God, will hear from heaven, and I, God, will forgive their sin, and I, God, will heal their land. He does all the work. I struggle to pray. Some people love to pray. There are some people that just naturally pray. I'm a little ADD. I start talking to myself. I just do, Melanie, you know. Start talking to myself. I'm also a teacher at heart, so I'm like, you know, I could spend my time studying. That'd be more useful. Isn't that a prideful thing to say? Had somebody, prayer meeting, you know, say, I'm not going to come to prayer meeting. I don't really get anything out of that. Well, I feel like we must misunderstand what prayer is. Prayer, intrinsic in prayer, is the process of me putting myself aside and asking God to be the one doing everything. It's the funny thing is that this thing is so uniform in Scripture. That is the process of being saved. Now, some of you guys may not know that word. Like, to actually become a Christian, the Bible says you have to be saved. And to be saved, you come to God and you say, hey, I'm a sinner. I know that I can't be good. I can't do this. So you're going to have to do this. And it says that you confess him as Lord of your life, and he saves you. He makes you new. You're born again. That's what happens. If you've never done that, you should consider making that decision for him today. But the thing is, that's the same prayer that needs to be prayed for everything. Lord, in my marriage, I can't do this. I don't have what it takes to be the husband that she needs. I can try, but I don't. I need you to do this. Lord, I don't have what it takes to be the dad that I'm supposed to be. Boy, that one hits. That's been my biggest fear growing. I didn't have a dad growing up. Been my biggest fear is just, I just don't know what to do. I never saw it. I don't have what it takes. I need you to do it. I don't have what it takes to be that employee at that job who is actually showing your power. I don't have what it takes. I need you to do it. I don't have what it takes to get through this knee replacement. I need you to do it. I don't have what it takes to watch my spouse go through cancer. I need you to do it. The same prayer is the same prayer we're supposed to be praying about everything all the time. And once you get that, boy, that's powerful. That's powerful. It frees me up from all the anxiety of having to figure it out. It frees me up from the anxiety of having to perform. And it's a prayer that we're going to be praying until the day that we die. As long as I've got this flesh, you know, don't ever believe that you've reached some plateau. You haven't. I was driving around yesterday. I get out of the house. I talk out loud, you know, to think my thoughts through. So I'm driving around in my truck working on this sermon, and I get to the part about transformed lives, and there's some goober standing in the middle of the road, and he won't get out of the way. He's hugging his friend, and I stop. I don't honk like he deserved. Thought about it, but I didn't. I didn't shake a fist. I didn't say any mean things to him. But as I drove by, we made eye contact. You know, like dudes do. You know what I mean, Dallas? We made eye contact. And for some reason, he found that offensive. I really didn't do anything, I don't think. But he started waving his fist at me. So you know what I did? I prayed a prayer of thanks. No, I didn't. I burned out my tires and I got out of there and I was mad for an hour. And I'm not kidding. I was at the point in this sermon where I'm thinking about what to say about transformed lives, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I am not transformed. I've got a whole life to live before I get there. And I will not be fully transformed until I see Him as He is. Let me implore you, fall down on your face before God and ask Him to do the work. Because you are not where you need to be. And that's not to knock you down. That's just to state a fact. The power we have as believers is to know that we are not ever where we need to be yet, but we have the path to get there. We don't have to perform for the world. We just got to get out of the way and let God work. And when the world starts to see God's power, they will flock to God. They will be drawn to the light. Drawn to the light. Things to consider. Do our ministries depend on the power of God? This is a big 30,000 foot view for you guys who are members here. So I know we've got some visitors here today. Do the ministries of our church, do they depend on the power of God? Something for you to think about as we move into the next year. Do our lives prove the holistic nature of the gospel? Yes, you're saved. Has your marriage been redeemed? Has your parenting been redeemed? Has your employment been redeemed? Have your finances been redeemed? Has your health been redeemed? And what that means is, I'm okay with whatever God brings me. These are hard things. But that's what people notice. And finally, do we believe God for the transformation of all people? I'm going to be honest with y'all. I've already told you I burn out at the guy that stood in the road. I can't get any worse. Aren't we judgmental jerks sometimes? We have a list. We see people and we think, you know, that person there, they'd make a good church member. I hope they'll come. You see other people and you think, whew, they got a long way to go. I'm not sure they're going to get there. That's wrong thinking. Do we believe that God could transform anybody? I say, do we believe? Are we believing progressively and in the present that God can transform anybody? I got people in my life that I struggle with that. I've given up on them. God hasn't, and I can't. But are we believing that God could transform anybody? Because, again, within a mile of this church are some people that, if I were making a list of people that might be so far gone there's no hope, they'd be on it. Thankfully, I'm not the one making the list. And God needs us to do what He asked us to do, and that is to go and to love all people, to make disciples of all nations. That word nations in the Greek is the Greek word ethnos, all ethnicities, and to see Him move as we express His power to the lost world. These are big things. So, I'm going to leave it with you and let you think about it over Thanksgiving. Big things. Really though, ask yourself, what am I doing in my life that only God could get the credit for? What are we doing as a church that only God can get the credit for? As our musicians make their way up, ask yourself these questions. I've given you, I said, I know this is hard stuff to think about. I've been thinking about it for 2 weeks. These are big things. But what I do know is that God moves in power. And we want to experience that and express that. I'm assuming she doesn't want to talk about it, but I'm not going to say that, you know, that fender bender that Michelle had was, I'm not going to say that that was, oh man, wasn't she lucky? No, I'm going to say that God moved that other car that hit her to just the right spot. That His almighty hand could shift it just a little bit to where it hit just the spot where she's okay. And now she's up here singing and playing bass today. I'm going to say that it's God's power that kept this church from being burned down. I'm going to say that as a church, we've taken a few hits in the last decade. Who cares? Our God is bigger than that. And He's already shown it by bringing people to us. We've had people in that baptistry in the last 6 months. God has brought us not just random people, but leaders, people who are ready to work and move and do things. God is working in people's lives. God is a God of power. Let's be sure that we're trusting in that power. And maybe there's somebody today. Now I know this invitation time is confusing for some. I've had conversations with some of you. You don't know. This is a weird thing that some churches do that maybe you're not aware of. What we're doing now is we are offering a chance to come down and pray, to deal with what you've just learned. If maybe you haven't been experiencing the power of God, why don't you come down and ask Him? Why don't you come down and say, God, I want to get out of the way, because I can't do it. If you've never given your life to Christ, I'd love for you to be saved today. I'd love for you to say, God, I can't fix myself. Do it for me. That's called being born again. But if you have done that, but you need God's power in your marriage, if you need God's power in your family tree, if you need God's power in your children, if you need God's power in a hospital, why don't you come ask Him? It'll be weird. We'll all be weird together. Come on down here. Put your face in the carpet and ask God to do the work. Because we can't. Let's all stand. Our Father in heaven, we're about to sing Amazing Grace. It's because of Your grace that You did not give us what we deserve. And it's because of Your grace that You offer us power to accomplish things that are beyond us. Lord, help us to be true ambassadors for You. Lord, help us to be showing and expressing Your power in our lives, in our church, through our ministries, through our homes, through our jobs, through our finances. Help us to do that, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Don't let the devil distract you. If you need to come pray, you guys come pray.